Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians, chapter 6. We'll read verses 11 through 14 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Galatians, chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. Galatians, chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should be some persecution for the cross. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for being in this place as your people so wonderfully sang just a moment ago. The Spirit of the living God is in this place. Father, thank you. Thank you that you're still anointing men of God like our preacher. Now, Father, please fill him with your power tonight as he preaches. This morning's blessings were wonderful, but we're still sinful and still needy. We need you again tonight. Please use him. May we listen with your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'll read to you again, if I could, please, verse number 14, though you won't need to turn to it, of Galatians chapter number 6. Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." What's happened here in verse 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul had strongly rebuked some who were not willing to stand for the cross. These people did not want to suffer persecution for their association with the crucifixion. Now, you have to stop and realize something. You and I, we look back on the crucifixion. But you see, there were some that were living near, very near, the time of the crucifixion. Now, you must see something here. They had crucified Christ. They were against his followers. And Paul said, there are some of you, you're cowering. You're afraid to stand up and be counted. You're afraid to say, hey, I'm with the one that they crucified. The one that they crucified, he's my Lord. And Paul, he talks about it. He talks about it in verse 12 and verse 13. Well, he then realizes, if I am going to rebuke them about not taking a stand, I had better take my stand. I had better make public where I stand in regard to this thing. And verse 14 is his public announcement that if he's going to rebuke some for being cowardly about association with the crucifixion, then he should stand boldly about his association with the crucifixion. And he says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, the thing about this that jumped off the page at me or grasped my thinking is this. Paul, in this one verse, mentions three crucifixions, not just one. And as you read it casually, you'll just think of one crucifixion. But there's more to it than that. There are three crucifixions mentioned here. Let me read the verse to you again and concentrate as I read it. Let's see if you notice three crucifixions. Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He mentions three crucifixions in one verse. He mentions the crucifixion or the cross of Jesus Christ. Then he mentions the need to crucify the world. Then he mentions the need to crucify oneself. Wow, What a packed verse. Paul said there are some that won't stand for the crucifixion. He said, I stand for three types of crucifixion. Hey, I'll stand and associate with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Then he said, I believe the world ought to be crucified. Then he said, and I need to crucify myself daily. I need to die daily. Paul said, some of you won't even associate with the crucifixion of our Lord. Paul said, I better step up and let them know. I believe in three crucifixions. I'll stand for all three. Let's look at those three crucifixions tonight. First of all, we see Christ crucified. This says there in Galatians 6:14, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thank God for the old rugged cross on a hill far away. Paul was saying, I'm not ashamed of the crucified one. He wasn't ashamed to talk about the crucifixion. You know, we're to be talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection more than just around Easter time. Hey, we're getting close to the time when the old Easter bunny is going to get all the credit. But hey, Easter's not all about a bunny. It's all about Jesus Christ. But Paul was not afraid to talk about and to preach about and mention the crucifixion. He calls Jesus his Lord. You see, he speaks up. He said the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't just talking about Jesus. He's saying he's my Lord. What he's saying here is, hey, there were a lot of people that said, hey, hear about Jesus, that Jesus guy getting crucified? Paul was not doing that. Paul said, have you heard about my Lord being crucified? He was making a personal identification with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's Paul saying, that was my Lord that was crucified. Now here's what you got to realize. The religious people of the day are the ones that crucified Jesus. And this is Paul saying, the religious left crucified my Lord. He's sticking his neck on the line here. He's making a bold statement here. Paul was not ashamed of his connection and his commitment to the crucified one. I'll tell you something. There are a lot of people that are distancing themselves from the crucifixion. It happens more and more. Hey, they're trying to take, and they're achieving it. They're taking the blood of Jesus Christ out of many songbooks today. I'm talking about the hymnals that we use in church. And you know why they say that? They say, we don't think you ought to have all that stuff about death and blood in your songs. Hey, well, you know, if they really mean that, then they need to shut Hollywood down. The truth is, the crucifixion and the blood of Jesus Christ is one of the foundational teachings of the whole Bible, and you got to keep the blood in the book. We shouldn't take the blood out and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I glory in the cross. He's saying, I glory in the crucifixion. You say, what's he mean by that? When he's talking about glory, he's not saying, well, I'm really happy how they abused Jesus. That is not what he means there. He means, I revel in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I, in my heart, know how to celebrate what Jesus did for me. He said, I can boast about what happened. He does not mean that I'm happy that Jesus suffered. He means, but the reason for which he suffered makes me happy. You say, what was the reason for which he suffered? He suffered for Paul. Paul said, he was suffering for me. It's like this. Paul, he knew who his heavenly father was. And Paul said, I just want to brag on my dad. Going to brag on dad and what dad did for me. You see, one of the reasons why we need to associate with the crucifixion is because the truth is an amazing one. Listen to this. Let me read a verse to you. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says this, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. When he talks about that reconciling, do you know what the reconciling was? It was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said Jesus was reconciling us to God. Now wait a minute. Notice the wording. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. You know what that means? God in Christ died for us. You got to stop and realize something. God was in Christ. Jesus was God come in the flesh. I don't think we should ever minimize Jesus Christ, but let me make something very, very clear to you. Jesus was God in the flesh, and when we crucified Jesus, God was willing to put Himself on the line to buy us back. We should not be ashamed of associating. Oh, what a tremendous, tremendous compliment from God. God, in His own way, was crucified for us. That was the pure dying for those of us that are not pure. You see, one reason Paul, he wasn't ashamed of the crucifixion, because it shows of the great love that God had for him. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Hey, Jesus died for you. You and I, we ought to think about the crucifixion. And when you think about it, don't minimize it. Exalt it. Stop and realize it was God come into flesh. And His goal was to buy us back and make us so we could go to heaven. Hey, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He died for you. That means this. Had you been the only one, had you been the only one, He would have gone through the crucifixion for you. For you. It shows that Jesus was taking care of our sin problem. Now, I hope you know you had a terrible sin problem. A terrible sin problem. Because there was a penalty for your sin. And that is death in hell, separated from God for all eternity. The Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Is death. You and I, we were condemned to die. But thank God for a thing called the crucifixion. Thank God for what He did. Hebrews 9:26 says this. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. You know what that means? That means Jesus sacrificed Himself to take care of your sin problem. Jesus sacrificed Himself to take care of your sin's penalty. Jesus, the pure, died for you, the wicked, and me, the wicked. Hey, that's what took place when He was crucified. You see, when He was crucified, it was God in Him that died on that cross. When He was crucified, He was saying, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. When He was crucified, He said, I'm taking care of your sin problem. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? You know what that word sovereign there is? Oh, what a special word. What a holy word. Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith. You know something? It was there by faith that you realized that the crucified one was caring for your sin problem once and for all. The crucifixion brought hope of heaven for all of us. The crucifixion is an innocent God providing pardon for a guilty criminal. Because of the crucifixion and the resurrection, we can have victory in our lives. And this is what Paul is saying here. Paul said, I know what took place when Christ was crucified, and I plan to glory in it. What he meant is, I am going to make a big deal about it, and I'm going to boast on my dad and what he did. He said, God loved me so much, He was crucified for me. Hey, he said, look, do you realize God, through Jesus Christ, died on that cross. He was saying, look, God was taking care of my sin problem. Paul said, there is no way in the world I'm going to tuck my tail between my legs and deny my association with the crucified one. But see, there are three crucifixions mentioned here. Paul said, if Jesus Christ can be crucified for me, then maybe there's some other crucifixions that need to take place. He says this. The verse says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. First we see Christ crucified. Now he talks about the world being crucified. the world crucified unto me. Paul had made a decision that the cross of crucifixion and Jesus Christ's crucifixion was to be a foundation of his thinking. Now he looks at the world. We talked about worldliness, those things that reject Christ. Now he looks at the world and he says, you want to know who ought to be crucified? It ought to be the world and the devil's ways. Those things ought to be crucified. Hey, do you need to put some worldliness to death? Is it possible? Is it possible that you need to hang a cross and nail some of the stuff that's going on in your life? Should you nail it to the cross and put it to death? You see the cross. Well, listen, the cross, or when someone was crucified, it was usually for someone that was a criminal and they deserved to be punished. Now, in Jesus' case, they crucified an innocent man. But everybody else that hung on the cross, they deserved to be crucified. It was a punishment. Now, I'll tell you something. Jesus Christ hung on a cross for you, so you didn't have to hang on one. It's time for some of you to put to death some of the things that are going on in your life because of what he did for you. You know, you don't have to live right to get saved, but you ought to live right because you are saved. You ought to live right. Hey, he went on the cross and he took your place on that cross. And it's time for some of you to stop and realize he gave you life. You look at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You trusted him as Savior. Now it's time for some of you to clean up your act. And you need to crucify the world in your life. That's what Paul was saying. He said, and the world crucified unto me. If you look to the right or to the left of Jesus Christ, you would have seen men that were thieves and robbers. Paul is saying the world is like a felon. The world is like a criminal. And it is the world that should be hung on a cross guilty of treason. The world will be judged. The day is coming. The Bible says in John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Look, there is coming a day when the world is not going to be so cocky. There is coming a day. Hey, you may think they're running wild right now. You may think that they're pretty confident right now. You may think, you might say, what? Look at that. Look how bold they are with all their sin and their filth. There's coming a day. The Bible says now is the judgment of this world. They're going to get there. Hey, the world's going to be crucified. I mean, if there was punishment to be handed out for guilt, Jesus didn't deserve it. Thank God he took it for us. But if anybody deserved to be crucified, it's the devil's crowd. It's the devil for what he's done. There is coming a day when the world won't be so successful. The crucifixion of the world. You know what that means? We ought to be crucifying some things in our lives. The world's reasoning cannot be trusted. Oh no, we're not to think like the world. Not at all. Hey, its reasonings come from a criminal mind. You say, who's guilty? Well, Jesus is not guilty of anything. But that old worldly way of thinking and worldly way of living, it should be crucified. I say to you, some of you need to crucify some things. Put them to death in your life. Don't let them have power over you. Those reasonings of the world, things like, if it feels good, do it. Well, I'm very sorry. That's not scriptural. Every man for himself, I'm sorry. That is ungodly and wicked. Hey, don't get even. Get ahead. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And you're to treat your enemies and you're to love them. You see, the world's reasoning can't be trusted. Some of you, your reasoning and your logic ought to be taken out of your head. It ought to be nailed to a cross. It ought to be put to death. You say, why? Jesus Christ was crucified for you. Now you're to crucify the world that's in your life. That's what Paul was saying. Paul said, I am willing to be associated with the crucifixion. Number one, I am willing to be associated with the crucified one. Number two, I'm willing to be associated with the crowd that believe you ought to crucify the world. He was saying, the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. will follow, though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. He said, not only are we to associate with the crucified one, we are to have a crucifixion in our own life of crucifying on the cross the world that pulls us down. We're to crucify its reasoning. Hey, the world's teachings should be ignored and they should be crucified from our thinking. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. There's more to it than that, folks. Hey, if you don't take care of hole number one, nobody will. Well, that's called stinginess in the Bible. Boy, we're in a dog-eat-dog world. Nobody cares about anybody. The humanism of this generation is pathetic. I mean, it is pathetic. Exalt man, exalt man, exalt man, exalt man. God said, humble man, humble man, humble man. We ought to crucify its reasoning and crucify its teachings. Today, we have what we call situation ethics. You know what that means? They're saying, well, there are no absolute rights and wrongs. And when you get into a situation, based on the situation, then you can determine what is right and wrong. Well, they're full of prunes. The Bible is always right. You're to always do what the Bible says. The Bible is to be the final authority. And if God said it is murder to kill a baby, it's murder to kill a baby. Oh, but we get all caught up, and if you're not careful, you end up in some institution of what they call higher learning that will say to you, your mind is so powerful and your mind is so strong, you can trust your logic. I've got news for you. You better trust the logic of the crucified one. The absolutes are right here. They're right here in this old black book. And that's one reason why people shouldn't be tampering with it. If you're a guest here today, we believe the King James Bible, and that's it. That's it. We're not going to tamper with it. Why? Hey, what right does man have to tamper with the words of God? We're not smart enough to do that. God's given us a Bible. He's given us the truth of the Bible. We're not smart enough to be messing with His words. God said what He meant what He said. That brings it to an end. You see, we need to be careful. We're to be crucifying the world. That's what Paul said. I'd be careful, if I were you, of its entertainments. We should be crucifying the world's entertainment. We should be dead to them. They should die to us. I'm talking about the rock and roll music some of you listen to. That ought to be crucified in your life. That ought to be dead. I'm talking about the rap music or the country music. I'm talking about those of you that watch Desperate Housewives on TV. You ought to be crucified. Hey, look, that ought to be crucified and done away from your life. I'm talking about those of you that would dare to go to the Hooters restaurant. We ought to be crucified to that. You say, are you telling me I've got to live that way to be saved? I'm telling you, you ought to live that way if you are saved. If you are saved. You owe Him a great debt. What was it? He's the crucified one. For you to crucify the world in your life is not unreasonable. And you better thank God that you did not have to work your way to heaven, because it would have taken perfection and you don't qualify. You were doomed to hell if you had to work your way there. He stepped up and said, I'll take care of the sin problem. I'll prove love. I'll reconcile you to myself. God in the form of a man was born, and He lived 33 and a half sinless years. He got crucified for you. And for God to expect you to give up Desperate Housewives is not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable. We should crucify the world. I'm talking about the pornography and the junk that some of you are into on the internet. I'm talking about those of you that watch the show Las Vegas over and over and over again and the filth that's on it. I'm talking about those of you that your TV's locked into MTV continuously. We ought to be crucified to the world. Crucified. We should be crucified to its fashions. Men acting and dressing like women, and women acting and dressing like men. Don't you let Hollywood determine how you dress or how you wear your hair. It should not be that way. Don't seek the world's honors. If the world, hey look, if the world's bragging on you, there's probably something wrong with you. If the world's bragging on you, there's probably something wrong with you. We're not to seek the world. We're to be crucified. Hey, the world is to be crucified. Jesus said, or Paul said here, listen to the verse again. He said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the crucifixion of Jesus. By whom the world is crucified unto me. Hey, we're to crucify. We're to take some things out of our life. Hey,
I love the fact that Paul talks about three crucifixions in one verse. I love it. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, do you realize there was, before he got crucified, do you realize that when they were bringing out publicly that somebody is about to be crucified, there are all sorts of people in the crowd. And you know what they were screaming? Give us Barabbas! Let Barabbas go free! What do you want me to do with Christ? Kill him! Are there some of you that are behaving like that? You're saying, I'm not about to crucify the bad guy. I'm not going to crucify what's bad in my life. Well, you ought to be willing to. Jesus was crucified for you. You ought to crucify the world that's in your life. Hey, what behavior is in your life that shouldn't be? What ought to be crucified in your life? What ought to be put to death? What ought to be put in a casket? What ought to be put 6 foot under? What do you need to crucify in the world? You become dead to it. And you don't go back to it. You quit making up excuses. You say, if Jesus Christ can die for me, then I can crucify this part of the world in my life. It's the least you could do. Hey, you got the easiest of the crucifixions. You got the easiest one. Hey, he didn't ask you to help him be crucified, but he promised you he would help you to crucify the world. He didn't need your power to get crucified and resurrected. He did it all by himself for you. He comes along to you and says, if you'll do it, I'll help you, and you can do all things through me. And he promised it. He said, I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. Three crucifixions, all in one verse. The crucifixion of Christ. The crucifixion of the world. And then thirdly, Paul said this, and I unto the world. Paul said, now I am to be crucified. Was he talking about the same type of crucifixion as Jesus? No, he was not. He was not talking about Paul dying physically. He was talking about Paul dying to some things and getting some things straightened out inside himself. See, we need to crucify some things in the world. Then we need to crucify some things about us personally. As a believer, I am to be crucified. I need to be crucified to self. I need to be crucified to my stinginess. Let me tell you why you're bitter. Because you've not been crucified. Did you know bitter people don't get mad? Or dead people don't get mad? If you were crucified, Brother Bates didn't come up here for a second. You stand right here. Listen to a verse. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You as a Christian were saved because of his crucifixion. There are some things about the world that ought to die in your life. And then you need to be crucified personally. Not you physically dying, but Christ ought to be living through you. And here the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I am to behave the way Jesus behaved. Now let me tell you something. The reason why some of you get angry, the reason why some of you are bitter, the reason why some of you get your feelings hurt all the time is because you're not dead. Dead people don't get offended. Dead people don't get their feelings hurt. Brother Bajan, put your Bible down right here. Cross your arms like you're dead. Put your head back just a little bit, tilt it back. Keep your eyes closed. He's dead. He's dead. Smells a little dead tonight. Need a bath, buddy. He's dead. Guess what? Bajan, you're a dumb bunny. Look at that. Didn't affect him at all. Bajan, you're worthless. You're a no count. Didn't affect him at all. Bajan, you sorry, good for nothing rascal, you're about the laziest guy I ever met in my life. Not affecting him. I can even pour this whole glass of water on his head. Yeah, he's got it. He's dead. Thank you, Brother Bajan. You're a good dead man. You remind me of Elvis there. I'm going to tell you something. The reason why your little petty feelings are hurt all the time is that's you resurrecting you. Jesus Christ is not offended. Why? You say, well, because the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend him. He couldn't have been offended. He was the walking word of God. Why would he be offended with himself? And so, if you'd die, and he would live through you, you wouldn't be getting offended all the time. You wouldn't have your feelings hurt all the time. You wouldn't be angry. You wouldn't suffer from the lack of forgiveness in your life. Every time your weaknesses pop up, that's you coming up out of the grave. Stay dead. Stay dead to yourself. Stay dead to what you want. Stay dead to your emotions. And let Jesus Christ live through you. He said, I am going to preach the cross of Jesus Christ which saved me. God proved that he loved me. It was God reconciling me to him. God come in the flesh to save me, proving his love. Hey, I'll preach that Christ. Then I'm going to look at the world, and it is the world that is the criminal. It is the world that is bad. And we need to nail the world to a cross and crucify it and let it die in our lives. Then Paul said, I've been get a hold of me. I better crucify me. I better keep me down and dead so Jesus Christ can live through me and he can be glorified. That's what Paul was saying. That's what Paul was saying. If you're faithful to living like Jesus would have you live, I'll tell you this. If you live the way Jesus wants you to live, the world will probably come after you to crucify you. You may not have to do it yourself. I mean, what do you think happened to Jesus? He was so much like God, the world couldn't take it. The world said, we better get him before he gets us because one of us is going down. They thought that they were doing him injury. They were just fulfilling the will of God when they crucified him. And they will be crucified, but they will not be resurrected when the world gets crucified. They're not coming back. He did come back. We need to crucify ourselves. But truth is, you live right, and this godless and perverse generation, they're going to think you're nuts. They may come after you to crucify you. You pastors that are here, don't you be shocked if somebody don't get ticked off at you. I mean, when you preach like you ought to preach, the holiness of God, separation and standards, you're going to find somewhere along the way somebody's going to get mad. Not everybody's going to make it in your churches because they're not really interested in the old time way. They're not really interested in holiness. They're not really interested in being crucified. They want to live it up, live like the world, and have a touch of religion. Well, Jesus, the crucified one, deserves more than a touch. More than a touch. You may find yourself bullied. Hey, those of you that go to work tomorrow, somebody may tease you. They may ask, you go to that Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? And they're saying it to make you feel bad. Then you may be threatened, teased, bullied. Hey, your behavior and motives will be misrepresented and misunderstood. There'll be people using it, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They'll say, why, Jeff Owens, out there at that Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, he's a legalist. A legalist is somebody that believes you get saved by your works. You got to keep the law to be saved. I am far from a legalist. I believe you get saved by grace through faith, but I also believe you ought to live holy. You see, what they don't like is the holiness preaching. They don't like it when you preach live holy after you get saved. Because everybody wants a Savior, but nobody wants to work hard after salvation to attempt to make Him your Lord. They don't like that. They don't like that at all. It's the holiness preaching that they can't stand. It's when somebody will actually mention you shouldn't be listening to rock and roll music. It's when somebody stands up and says country music is out of hell. It's when somebody stands up and says you watch so much garbage out of Hollywood, you're rotting your kid's brain away. They say, legalist, legalist. Oh no, I believe you get saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's free. You just come to the cross and Jesus will save you. Then, after he saved you, you better crucify the world. The hard part about that is you're going to have to crucify you. You're going to have to die to your fleshly desire to do the boogaloo to all that music and everything. You're going to have to die to your fleshly desire to see half-unclothed women on the show Las Vegas. You have to die to wanting it. You don't want to crucify yourself. But you do want a crucified Savior, don't you? He was crucified for you. Why don't you do some crucifying? Somebody probably will. It'll be me. I don't crucify something, Brother Owens. Some will think you're stupid. Some will think as you follow his ways, Jesus forced you into this type of servitude. You'll be mocked for being out of date and behind times. They'll say, well, you're just a thing of the past. Thank you. Indeed, I am. I am. I'm old-time religion. I want old-time religion music. I want old-time religion church services. I want old-time religion preaching. I want an old-time religion Christian school. Yes, indeed, I am out of date. And I don't want anything to do with the new stuff. Not even in the circles in which I run. I'm not getting involved in anything new. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. And you can connect me back to the old-time ways. The old-time ways, you see. Somebody may try to crucify you. Well, if they did, I think it would need to be an honor. They will do their best to make you feel like a hypocrite. Why? They think you ought to live perfect. At least they know that you ought to be attempting to do it, but they'll remind you that you're not. Try to humiliate you. Yeah, you believe in living right. Well, I know how you ought to be living, and you're not doing it. Yeah, that's true. Why are they pointing it out to you? I'm going to guess they got their hands full with themselves. They're trying to get you down. They're trying to get you down. They'll push you away. They'll keep you from feeling like you're a part of society. Can I tell you all something? This old world tries to make us feel like we don't belong here. They're going to figure out who's really in charge of this old globe someday. And it's not going to be them. They might as well live it up and party now, because the day's coming when their party's over. We will rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. The devil and his crowd's going to get thrown in hell, and they're not coming out. They don't even have a key to their own apartment. They're not coming out. They'll look for ways to make you feel guilty and get you down. When you live holy, they'll attack your sincerity. They'll try to intimidate you into believing that what you're doing is not worthwhile. But you need to crucify yourself. You need to look at the crucified one, Jesus Christ. You need to stop and think about what really took place. And that's what Paul did. Paul said, I don't have anything to glory about except for one thing. I revel in the crucifixion because I know what happened. Paul said, I know what happened on that cross. It was God coming to flesh. It was God's Son dying for me. It was God proving His love for me. It was God taking care of my sin problem. I am proud to be associated. I'm bragging on my dad. I glory in Abba my Father and His great love. Paul said, and if He can be crucified for me, then I need the world to be crucified in my life. I need to take the sin out and the world's reasoning and the world's ways. It's a minimal sacrifice compared to the sacrifice He made for me. And then Paul said, but the only way I'll crucify the world is if I'm crucified. And I crucify myself to my own thinking, my own reasoning, my own lust, my own desire, my own flesh. I need to die to me, and if I'll die to me, I'll die to the world. And if I die to the world, thank God, I'll never have to die in this world, because I'm saved to Jesus Christ and His crucifixion. But if you will not die to self, you'll not die to the world. You won't. You won't do it. Those of you that you have the sins in your life that you know ought to be taken out, your problem is not with the world. Your problem is that you won't die to yourself. If you loved Him like you ought to love Him, you'd look at what He did for you and say, you know what? What He went through for me is so big. Anything He asked of me is so little. So little. It's so little what God would ask. Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the first one. By whom the world is crucified. There's a second one unto me. And I unto the world. Three crucifixions in one verse. You see, Paul had just preached and rebuked a group of people that were ashamed to be associated with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And he said, I don't have anything to brag about, but I am going to tell you one thing. I'm not ashamed of the crucified one. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I have crucified the world. And I'm not ashamed of the fact that I need to crucify me. Because if He can do that for me, I should be willing to crucify anything He wants in my life for Him. For Him. Three crucifixions. In one verse. A truth. And oh, is this old black book full of them. Hey,
Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you have not, then I would turn to the first crucifixion. Turn to the Savior. You cannot save yourself. He'll save you. You humbly come to Him realizing you can't save yourself, that you deserve hell, and that you're a sinner. And you're a bad one. You're a bad sinner. We all are. And you say, I can't save myself. Please forgive me. Forgive me for ever trying to depend on myself. I'm giving you the faith, really, that you gave me. I'm giving it to you. I'm trusting you to take me to heaven someday. Forgive me of my sin. You trust the crucified one. If you're here and you've never been saved, you need to trust the crucified one, not yourself for salvation. The crucified one. Hey, is there something that ought to be nailed to a cross in your life? Should you be crucifying some worldly things in your life? Say, I probably should, Brother Owens. Well, let me tell you what you're going to have to do then. You're going to have to die to yourself. You say, well, you mentioned rock and roll. Well, the way I see it, there's your problem. The way I see it, what I think, what I want, what I feel, what I prefer. I just told you, if you'd die to you, then you'd crucify some things on the cross from the world. But until you die to you, you are not about to crucify the world. What is it for you this evening? Somebody need to die to themselves so that you'll have the power to die to the things of the world? Is that you tonight, Christian? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Three crucifixions. I believe God has spoken to hearts tonight. Is there anybody here in this building that would say, I'm not saved. I need to accept the Savior. I need the crucified one to move into my life. I need to be born again. If you're like that, would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be saved. I'm not on my way to heaven. If I die today, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Let me pray for you. And it's been made very clear tonight, you're not saved by your works. You won't pay your way to heaven. You won't get baptized to get to heaven. You won't be a church member to get to heaven. You'll trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He does all the saving. You just receive the free gift. Is there anybody at all that would say, I'm not saved? I'm not saved. I need to be saved. If that be the case, in a moment, we're going to have an altar call. Here's how the altar call will work. The men sitting on this platform, when we start the invitation, they'll leave this platform. They'll go down and stand down front at the front of each aisle. If you're not saved, you leave your seat. You walk down to the front, walk up to one of the men, say, I want to be saved. A soul winner will take a Bible and show you how to be saved. But I think there are a whole bunch of people in here that are saved. You've trusted Jesus Christ. Have you died to yourself? Because if you'll not die to yourself, you'll not die to the world, or you'll not crucify the world, as Paul put it. Who here would say, Brother Owens, this thing of dying to self and the crucifixion of the worldly things, God's spoken to my heart about it tonight. I need to make a decision about something tonight. God has spoken to me. Will you raise your hand? Say, that's me. There's some things that need to be cared for. Hands all over the building. Must be 100, 150 hands up. If that's you, we're going to have an altar call for you as well. In a moment, I'll turn to the instrumentalists and ask them to play. We'll all stand. The choir will sing. The very moment we stand and the choir begins to sing, you jump right out of your pew. You come right down front. Get on your knees and you do business with God. Somebody here needs to come down here and say, God, I need to start dying to my ways and having my way and my pride and my reasoning and my thinking and my justification of why I do what I do that's against you. Somebody needs to come down here tonight and say that some things are going to be put to death in my life. There's some sin from the world that's in my life. It should not be there. You need to come down here and make a decision for God about it. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play.